I have to, it's kind of like nesting as I settle into my chair. I'm not at a desk. I'm at a console that is elevated like a countertop in your kitchen. Give you a little bit of a visual here. At some point, I'm gonna do a tour. We're building a Rumble channel and likely a Gab channel as well. And so we are kind of going to lay the groundwork in the coming weeks on how we're going to utilize those tools. But one thing I will do is give you a tour of the studios known as 1A, 1B, and the Ready Room, which isn't used all that often because people love to be in Grant's presence.
Yep, they come straight to me.
Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A is... He's kind of like a light for moths. He just draws everybody to him.
At least it wasn't like one of those buzzing lights for mosquitoes.
Yeah, I was trying to find something, something that would work. But he's so much fun to converse with. And so as people come in the studio, we have this really nice waiting room. But they want to be in where the action is. It's a fascination with radio to a certain extent. People are still fascinated by how it happens. And I'm convinced that's why some radio programs do a televised version of their show, because people love to be voyeuristic and kind of just watch it all happen. And while we did do that for a good while, we've decided that we wanted to just stay with radio. And so we'll give you glimpses in other ways of how we do what we do. And we'll do special features that will be video-oriented interviews and so forth from time to time. But today's program is, of course, a Friday. We will be off Monday and Tuesday next week, back Wednesday. And no shortage of stuff in today's program. Of course, we have What's the Beef Friday. Friday shows are a little bit different, but today not as different as normal because of the nature of what's in the news cycle. We will share some pushback, some fascinating sound bites next hour that you really need to hear if you haven't heard them already. We're just going to let you listen to what people are saying, including some kids. Elementary, high school, about what's going on in their schools. So you can get a sense of the depth of the growing problem. But we begin, as always, with a verse from Scripture, Psalm 135 and 6. Wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in His word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. It is perhaps one of the single biggest challenges that I think we carry from our childhood. You know, when you're a kid, and it was Eric Eggers that proposed the mathematical version of this. 1 year in the life of a four-year-old is a quarter of their life. 1 year in my life right now is 1/61st of my life. It's totally different. And so when you're a kid and you're looking forward to your birthday or a holiday or a trip or whatever it might be, it takes forever to get there. Why? Mathematics. And so when we're younger, waiting is so hard. Patience is so difficult. I remember telling my mom when I was a kid, it was a flippant statement. You need to be patient, son. Mom, if God had meant for me to have patience, I'd be a doctor. And I think we carry that forward in life. I think we are, generally speaking, kind of impatient. It's a great verse to remind yourself, slow down, don't get ahead of God, wait on the Lord. There's some great verses about what happens for you when that takes place. 10 minutes after the hour, take a look at this date in history real quickly and a pretty alarming survey results. I'm going to get right to it. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Take a peek at the American Patriots Almanac. Oh, you know what? I didn't finish. When I start the show, getting settled in my chair, and it's really weird because you'd think, well, it's the same chair you sit in every morning, and in my case, it's the same stool. Drafting chair is really the best way to describe it. It's a drafting chair. It's elevated. All of our chairs are elevated here. It's like sitting in the same stool every day, and this is the stool I've sat in for the better part of the last 12 years. And I can't explain it. Just sometimes it feels adjusted to me. And I know it's not. I know you get in here on Friday.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just because, I mean, it's Friday. So by now I've got it dialed in. It's different. And so I feel like I'm like a bird nesting. I think I'm kind of waddling into my seat here and getting it right.
It is always funny when I come in to record the show with the guys later today.
You need a step ladder to get on it?
It takes all of me to push it down.
Yeah.
All the way down.
Sorry. On this date, it is June 25th. It is day 157 of America held hostage. In 1788, Virginia becomes the 10th state to ratify the Constitution. 1868, Andrew Johnson, president, signs legislation providing for an 8-hour workday. 1868, for workers employed by the federal government. So that's where it started. 1876, Battle of Little Bighorn. We'll just move on past that one.
Yeah.
1917, ships carrying the first wave of troops of the American Expeditionary Force approached the shores of France, 1917. And in 1950, Korea War erupts when North Korean troops invade South Korea. Oh, man. The no-cos. All right. North Dakota State University revealed the findings of a nationwide survey asking 400,000 students a series of questions, 1,000 American college campuses.
That's a big survey size.
So one would think this one's going to be pretty reflective of attitudes, thoughts, right?
Could have some validity to it.
What they found is, in response to the question, are you proud to be an American, 57% of liberal identifying students said no. 73% of conservative students said yes. The professors that designed the survey, professors from North Dakota State, John Bitson and Clay Routledge, quoting, "This is a surprising result. Previous work done by Clay shows that most Americans are proud to be American, regardless of political party, gender, race, religion, income, or employment status. We don't know why college students answered in this way, but the differences between answers by college students and the general population on a very similar question seem to suggest something unique that is worth further exploration." You think? And I'm not making fun of them.
No.
The survey found that liberal attitudes towards the U.S. is greater influenced by higher education than that of conservatives.
Shocker.
81% of liberal respondents answered yes when asked if their perceptions of the U.S. have developed in college, compared to the 44% of conservatives who said yes. I'm holding on to this story. this story absolutely, positively proves what we have been suspecting and believing for a few decades now, that college campuses are ruining the minds of kids towards this country. They're creating enemies of this nation. 16 minutes after the hour.
WFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
Blog page is waiting for you. I'm proud of the stuff we get on there. Every now and then I'll write something worth reading, but generally it's just some little video clips and stories that are either very, very informative. Like, for example, I've got a new post dropping on Project Veritas. The attorney representing the New York Times is basically blackmailing and extorting them, and he made a very serious miscalculation in doing so. He, in essence, threatened to disclose information about other clients of the law firm that represents Project Veritas. And so those letters that he has sent, citing laws keeping them private, which don't apply, have now been presented to the judge in the case. And this is just crazy. We're going to be posting that this weekend. I've got a new video from Andrew Cotter, two very good dogs, posting tonight, including a companion video of him that just sort of talks about the relationship. And Olive and Mabel, you know my love of those two dogs and the whole story and how it came about from the pandemic. It's really, it's a fun little diversion. That'll post tonight. But right now on the blog page, there is Dr. Anthony Fauci in a very heated debate with himself. And it's from the Babylon Bee, and it's just classically funny and satire, of course. But anyway, speaking of, I get email from all kinds of sources. I've chronicled that. And one of them is the Babylon Bee. And they push out to those that follow them different things supporting other causes. Books, individuals, events that they think people that are conservative-minded Christians might be interested in. One of the things I got is a book being pushed out by, I mean, it's got tremendous reviews. The Economist, Dennis Prager, The Christian Post. Book by Abigail Schreier. Irreversible Damage. The Transgender Craze Seducing Our Daughters. And it's from Regnery Books. So, I reached out to him. I said, hey, would you like to get Abigail on the show? And I get a note. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not doing promotion for that anymore. If something changes, we'll let you know.
Huh?
Voice inflection added by me.
Certainly.
I wrote back, I said, okay. I said, now for whatever it's worth, I've done about 7,000 interviews and I've done a whole lot of authors, and never in my lifetime have I been told that we're not promoting that book any longer. I just received a promotion for that book. What are you talking about? I said, so, okay, I guess, I said, I hope Abigail knows to what lengths you're going to help her sell books.
So did the publisher look at the content and realize this doesn't align with what they want? Is that what happened?
No. This is right up their alley. A show like mine.
Right. You're right.
And all they would have to do is click the link, follow the show, and say, oh, well, I guess we maybe ought to... Best-selling authors appear on that show. Maybe we ought to follow.
Wow.
My goodness, Peter Schweitzer's a regular on that program. I was dumbfounded. So you do a promotional push and then say, not interested.
Nope. Never mind.
That's right. And I'm just thinking, man, if I'm an author for Regnery Books, I'm looking for another publisher because they don't help their authors a whole lot.
That is bizarre.
Now, if you say, oh, man, she's not available right now to do any stuff like that, maybe in a couple weeks or next month or something, cool. You know, scheduling, that happens. That's a routine part of what we deal with here. But we're not promoting. Does your author know that? 27 minutes after the hour. It's the morning show with Preston Scott.
Pick and weather on the 10s and the truth all the time. The morning show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Just making your way to the radio program. Thanks. You got lots of choices out there. And we are honored that you've chosen to spend time with us. Preston Scott here. It's the morning show. Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. Your call's in the third hour. It's our weekly effort to promote a kinder, gentler community with What's to Be Friday, wherever you live. It's all about helping you purge from your very soul the things that have caused you angst over these last days, and for some of you, weeks, months, maybe even years. But your chance to call in comes in the third hour of the program. Next hour, Pushing Back. Talked about it a few days this week. We're going to let you listen to some of the pushback that's going on in school systems across the country. I think the survey that we revealed in the last half hour is reason enough to have grave concerns about what's going on in education in our country. There is an indoctrination going on. It is a revision of history. It is a bombardment of ideals that are counter to a civilized culture and a constitutional republic. Just consider the fact that we have scores of people in this country that think we're a democracy. And they don't get it. We're not. So, we'll get to all that. How did I get oatmeal all over my hands? This is ridiculous.
You're a violent eater.
No, this is ridiculous. Good Lord. It's all over my watch. Did I drool on myself, too?
Is it all over your board, too, now?
No, it's not.
Thank goodness.
All right, let's catch you up. In the news, Champlain Towers. Are they calling it Champlain Towers?
I don't know.
Surfside, Florida.
That's how I'm hearing it, just the Surfside building collapse.
Horrifying that potentially nearly 100 people are missing. Now, you hope and pray these are people that were not there. They're on vacation. They're out of communication. They don't really know what even happened, and so they haven't contacted loved ones to say, hey, we're fine. We were just out of our place.
Apparently, like, people were getting rushed to the hospital, and they didn't even check IDs at the time, and they're just doing it after the fact. They're just getting people help first.
We're talking about 342 total apartments. The South Building, 136 units, full-time residents, families, snowbirds, short-term renters, combination. The condos cost between $600,000 and $900,000 apiece.
Whoa.
1 to 3 bedroom apartments, about 1,600 square feet max. And so it's a sporty facility. Now, it was due for a 40-year inspection. And so, you know, obviously they will have to find out what happened. Because you have to then go back and say, okay, once we determine what happened here, we have to look at every other building that was built in and around 1981 to those same codes. Was it a cement mix problem? You know, because if you don't get the mix of the cement right, it may not have the rigidity and the lasting power of a properly mixed cement. And
talk about paranoia.
Well, I mean, it's a big deal. You know, this is no small thing. So anyway, we're going to do our best. As always, you can visit the website, learn more, stay up to speed, listen to the news, and just WFLAFM.com is the website of choice, or 945WFLA.com. 40 minutes past the hour.
Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right, got that oatmeal taken care of. Disaster. Sorry. When politicians used to talk about a bipartisan deal, it was a good thing. Now, I'm a little bit more jaded and cynical when I hear the word.
I think a lot of people are.
When I hear the word bipartisan, here's what I think. We want the other guys to get some blame, too. It was a big story yesterday, thus a big story here today. Biden, bipartisan senators reach deal on $953 billion infrastructure compromise. And when you see infrastructure as it breaks down, I'm looking at the list. Okay.
Is this truly infrastructure this time?
$953 billion, out of it, $559 billion is listed. These projects, this qualifies as infrastructure. Where's the other $400 billion going?
Do they think we're that stupid?
Yes.
To not notice that,
yeah,
that small
care.
Detail?
And they know that the mainstream media is running interference. But that's not the seamy detail here. Biden allegedly had told everybody, look, you bring me a bipartisan deal, we'll get it done. We'll sign it. But no. The group of 21 senators, 11 Republicans, 10 Democrats. How'd that happen? 11 Republicans, 10 Democrats? Interesting. Have endorsed the framework. They've got to get Chuck and Nancy on board. Nancy said, yes, she'll sign it. But, here we go. Everybody listen. But, Democrats are going to pursue a larger reconciliation package to take care of issues like elder and child care, education, health care, climate change.
Ah, there's the infrastructure we know and love.
Oh, no, sir. This is not part of the 950-some billion-dollar bill.
This is a new thing.
This is something different. Biden said to reporters he would not sign the bipartisan proposal without a separate human infrastructure and climate change package. If they don't come, referring to a reconciliation package, I'm not signing. It's real simple. That's a quote. And that other package? That he's not going to sign the $953 billion package unless he gets presented with a $6 trillion package.
Where are they pulling this money from?
We don't have any of it. We're borrowing all of it. We're just printing it. Which does what? Devalues the dollar and expands inflation. So the big story in the press box is dig deeper. As everyone's extolling the virtues of the bipartisan plan, remember, this is merely an effort for Democrats to say in advance of 2022, hey, it wasn't just us. That's what bipartisan means. And Republicans have done the same thing in the past. Seeking bipartisan, no. You do what's right. And this is wrong. All of it is wrong. Most of what's happened since the pandemic began was wrong. I understood and understand a little bit of it. But most of it, no. And no, not just the Biden stuff. I didn't agree with everything that President Trump did with regard to spending during the pandemic. We needed to just keep the pressure on Democrat states to open up. 46 minutes after the hour. Pushing back. Here on the Morning Show with Preston Scott.
And Beck, you want him on that radio.
America can handle the truth.
You need him on that radio. 9 to noon on WFLA.
Half hour pushing back. I'm just going to let you listen. I'm going to tee it up and let you listen to what some students, and it's a snapshot of some of the viral sound of the last few weeks at school boards in parts of the country. All three different school boards. Two in Minnesota, one in elementary school, one a high school, different districts, one in Illinois. But, you know, you can grab what's happening in Virginia. You can grab what's happening in districts all over the country. And school boards better be awake. But we'll get to all that. I don't know if you saw the news. C.C. Telfer is the young man's name. When you see transgendered woman, it is a guy. Won a Division II track championship in 2019. That in and of itself is a travesty. You seen the race?
No, I have not.
400 meter hurdles. Blew away female competitors. They didn't have a chance.
This is a dude?
Yes. Running as a girl. Ruled ineligible for the Olympic trials because, according to guidance from the World Athletics Association, stated that female athletes' testosterone levels were at 5 nanomoles per liter. Or more, if it's 5 or more, they're barred from events between distances of 400 meters and a mile. So I guess if it's shorter, it's okay. CeCe he's not fighting this. His representation said it's okay, he'll abide by the ruling. I feel bad for the young man because, you know, clearly there's something going on inside this guy's heart, mind, and spirit that's just convinced him that somehow cosmically everything's wrong. Now, according to the rules, an athlete must stay below this particular threshold for 12 months. The organization said transgender female athletes can lower their testosterone level by using oral contraceptive pills, hormone therapy pills, or having surgery to remove their testicles. So you could back off from this and just look at the young man and say, well, clearly he's not committed. He didn't have the necessary surgery. He hasn't taken the necessary protocols in order to... But the fact that they would even do that is, to me, cruel and inhumane. They are telling young men, fine, you can compete, but you have to ruin your body. You have to mutilate yourself, or you have to take hormones to a level that will alter you to a degree that we deem acceptable for you to be considered a female. This should never, this is so cruel what they're doing. Not just to the female athletes. If you watch these young ladies running in this Division II track and field championship, this is the championship. They don't have a chance. It is so patently unfair. And we are, as a country, normalizing it. So the meanness is not just to the female athletes. It's to people that are being tantalized at the prospect. And all they have to do is just ruin themselves physically, which then ruins them mentally and emotionally. Back with Hour 2 next of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Here we go. Hour number 2 of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. 5 minutes past the hour. We've got some sound you need to hear coming up in just a few minutes. But first, for all of you in the region that love the model trains, talked about it a couple years ago, the Tallahassee Model Railroad Show and Sale is here. It's a two-day show. And joining me to talk about is Andy Zimmerman. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Preston. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Tell us about the show.
Well, it's our 30th anniversary show. It's going to be a two-day show this year. Back in 2019, it was a one-day show. So this year, it's going to be Saturday and Sunday. Saturday 9 to 5, Sunday 10 to 4. So you can give people time to go to church, get something to eat, and come on out.
What should people know in terms of what's the charge to get in, parking, and it's at the North Florida Fairgrounds, correct?
Yes, it is. North Florida Fairgrounds, parking is free. It's $10 for 13 and older, but 12 and under get in for free. The $10 covers you for both days, Saturday and Sunday. So you can come back and revisit us on Sunday for the same $10.
So you can scout out what you're interested in buying and come back the next day and get it.
Maybe. One would hope, but some of that stuff goes pretty fast.
Yeah, I was going to say, how long now have you been involved with model railroads, Andy?
Probably since I was 16, and earlier than that, probably since I was about 9. And I'm 59 now, so probably 50 years on and off.
What's the fascination for model railroaders?
A lot of times it's because, it's a trip kind of back to yesteryear. You know, we revisit childhood places. We can pull those childhood places out of our minds and rebuild them in a module or rebuild them on a layout someplace, and when people, look at it, we can tell them, hey, I used to live in that neighborhood, or I used to live in this city or this town during that time.
You know, when Cynthia and I visited a couple years ago, I marveled at the number of layouts with moving, active, running train sets that are there. Do you have an expectation of how many are going to be actually set up and running?
About the same number this year as it was in 2019. I think we're just one shy of same number. We did expand some of them, like the T-track layouts that you saw, the modular layouts. We expanded it. It's out to 69 feet long or something like that this year.
What's the most popular gauge? Is it HO still?
HO is still inking it out, but barely. N-Scale is coming up fast and coming up hard, and it's going to be hard to beat N-Scale now that people are, they're creating smaller spaces to put things in. So N-Scale is the perfect fit for the small spaces.
Now, is N-Scale the smallest, or is that Z?
No, actually the smallest, if you recall, the smallest one is T-Scale, 1/450. That's the one that runs on, I mean, the engine's about, you can put it across a quarter.
Okay, so take me through the gauges then, because I'm clearly confused. So T is the smallest.
T is the smallest, and you would think it would go in alphabetical order, but, you know, they've already had a Z-Scale, so they had to use something, I suppose. But T is for tiny.
Okay.
So you have O-Scale, which is 1 to 48. You have HO-Scale, which is 1 to 87, and HO stands for half of O-Scale. Right. Then you have N scale, which is 1 to 160, and Z scale, which is 1 to 220, and then T scale, which is 1 to 440. And there's some other scales in between there, like S scale and TT scale, and some other ones in G scale. But those are the most popular ones.
Andy, thanks so much for the heads up on the event coming up this Saturday and Sunday, and best of luck to you.
Thanks, sir. And if you come out, tap me on the shoulder.
You got it. Thank you, sir. Andy Zimmerman with us this morning. And again, it is it's this Saturday and Sunday, 30th annual Tallahassee Model Railroad Show and Sale. It's at the North Florida Fairgrounds. And 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, 10 to 4 on Sunday. Went out there a couple years ago, had a great time, a lot of fun. Encourage you to check it out and visit. 10 minutes after the hour, come back and we will start to let you listen to what people are saying around the country about what's happening inside our schools.
The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Morning Show with Preston Scott. My goal here is to let you listen to what others are saying about what's happening in schools across the country. Is it happening in your school? I don't know, but do you? Do you know what's happening in your school? Are you aware of what's taking place? Let's start with 9-year-old young lady, Lakeville Elementary School. This was June 8th. And we just identified herself. She, Nova Lee, and no last name. We don't need it for the purposes of listening to what she had to say in her very prepared remarks.
Here again. The other day I was walking down the hallway at Lakeview Elementary School to give a teacher a retiring gift. I looked up onto the wall and saw a BLM poster and an Amanda Gorman poster. In case you don't know who that chick is, she's some girl who did a poem at Biden's so-called inauguration. I was so mad. I was told 2 weeks ago at this very meeting spot, no politics in school. I believed what you said at this meeting. So at lunch, I went up to my principal to tell him about the BLM poster and that I wanted it down. He said it's not coming down. I was like, yeah, it is, because the school board said on May 25th, no BLM or politics in school. He said, that's weird. They were the ones who made them. I was stunned. When I was here 2 weeks ago, you told us to report any BLM in our schools. Apparently, you know they're in our schools because you made the signs. I said there should be no BLM in schools, period. Does not matter the color you make the posters and the font you use. We all understand the meaning. It is a political message about getting rid of police officers, rioting, burning buildings down while King Governor Welch just sits on his throne and watches. We all know. Changing the font or the color of posters does not change the meaning. I am 9 years old and I know that. You expect me to believe that you did not know what you were doing by making these posters? Come on, people. I do not judge people by the color of their skin. I don't really care what color their hair, skin, or eyes is. I judge by the content or the way they treat me. MLK said, I have a dream that one day my four little children will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. That dream has come true. I do not care or look at the color of skin, but you make me think of it. I have Asian, Mexican, white, Chinese, black friends, and I don't care. I like them because some of them make me laugh, some are sweet and kind, sporty, or share the love of God. They are just my friends. You have lied to me, and I am very disappointed in all of you. You cannot even follow your own rules. If you're going to do that, why do we follow any rules we deemed unfit or ridiculous? I'm not following your mask rule anymore, then. Get the posters out of our schools. Courage is contagious, so be courageous.
There you go. That's a 9-year-old. Why is an elementary student forced to have to confront this in an elementary school? It's out there. It is showing up in classrooms, in hallways, at assemblies. Kids are being lectured. Teachers are being lectured. Teachers are being, before the current school year even started. I remember an article where teachers in San Diego, I believe it was, were forced to attend a symposium where if they were white, they were relegated to one place, and if they were minority, they were relegated to the other, and the white teachers were systematically bludgeoned with the ideal that they were oppressors and needed to be very, very mindful of their place and needed to be, in essence, walking around with a hat in their hand, apologetic for all of the deeds ever done by white people against minorities. You don't think that finds its way into the classrooms? I'm not done. It's tragic that an elementary student has to address a school board and, oh, by the way, call them out as liars. When we come back, one of the most eloquent speeches ever by a 15-year-old. Next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
WFLA at WFLAFM.com. On your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos. And iHeart's radio station.
Pushing back. As Dennis Prager said, the best thing you can do is pull your kids out of public schools and then be very, very cautious about the school you enter them into, because not all Christian schools have it right. Not all private schools have it right. Thoroughly vet. Know the curriculum. Desperate times, right? Desperate times. Call for desperate measures. Listen to the comments of 15-year-old Brad Taylor. Brad is talking to the school board from Rosemont High School District 196 in Minnesota.
Despite the board's attempt to deny it, District 196 schools are quickly becoming a place where promoting activism is actually more important than promoting education. I'll take you back to my first day at RHS this fall. The principal came out and gave us a heartfelt speech about equality and standing together. He began to list countless races, such as Latino, Asian, expressing how much they matter and how important they are. But never once did he mention a race or identity that reflects me, or half the kids that were in the class. Now, members of the board, I know you haven't been to school in a while, and I know most of you don't have any kids left in the school district. You must admit how uncomfortable it will be to be characterized just by your skin color on the first day of school, and be thought that you were wrong just because of your skin color. So I will never forget the look one of my friends gave me from across the room as we were sitting there listening to this blatant bias being expressed in the so-called equity statement by the leader of our school. To be clear, I don't need you to tell me that I matter, but hearing the condolences given to other races and leaving just one race out, it inevitably you'll start to feel like you've done something wrong. And in our principal's attempt to unify us, he instead created unwarranted boundaries and barriers between his students, pitting us against each other based on characteristics that we can't control. There are political signs all over RHS about specific races that matter, specific sexual orientations that matter, and specific perspectives that matter. But when I questioned the RHS administration about how these signs were political, they told me that they were supporting human rights. So when I questioned why the equity statement couldn't represent all students, they told me that to even ask that question was outlandish and offensive. And they, when I asked why that was, they told me, quote, whites have a pretty good situation right now, unquote. So is that not racism? Disregarding my question merely because of the color of my skin. To be honest, after enduring a year of the people in charge telling me that I'm a racist and I'm privileged and pointing out our irreversible differences, I've never noticed race more. And it's becoming the first thing I notice when I meet someone, which has never before been the case. RHS administration confidently told me that RHS students and staff are happy with their equity statement. But from my experience in talking with other students, this is not the case. I know many kids who disagree with their teachers, but they're too scared to stand up because they're worried that their grades will be docked and their learning experience will be affected. My honors government teacher, I'm not going to say his name, but he's mentioned that Democrats care more about all people while Republicans only care about themselves. And he's also inferred to us that socialism is better than democracy. He even had a statue. He had a statue of a socialist leader in his classroom. I've been told by a lot of kids that they just stay silent and adjust their schoolwork to reflect an acceptable opinion to secure a good grade. A fellow coworker at my job, who by the way is of color, discreetly told me that the school seemed to be pushing a very leftist agenda in class. This proved that not everyone is happy with your school, and not everyone who isn't happy is white. Now, due to all these instances I've mentioned and many more that I can't fit in this 5-minute speech, I have decided to leave this district and continue school on a private Christian school online. And there will be sacrifices, and I will not get to walk in the graduation ceremony or attend milestones at RHS, but I will be able to learn in an environment that is not intent on punishing me daily for my skin color and political views. Now, regardless of how you take my speech, whether you just shrug it off as malarkey or Fox News talking points, I encourage you to think about it, because someday I'm going to be a leader. I may be the president, a governor, or just a professional golfer, but I will never stop believing that everybody has value, no matter their skin color or personal beliefs, and it's a shame that you're not going to be able to say that I was an alumni of RHS in District 196. Thank you.
How good was that? That's a 15-year-old. So we've heard from a 9-year-old forced to deal with it in elementary school, calling out a school board for lying and broken promises, a 15-year-old forced to deal with it in his high school. When we come back, a parent that is having none of it and... I'm just going to ask you, what are you going to do? It's not just critical race theory, people. It is so much deeper and more pervasive than that. It's the public school system. It's your school system. You fund it. You pay for every single thing that happens inside of it. 27 minutes past the hour, time for news.
His opinion. He just happens to be right. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Today is kind of a pushback day where my goal is to do a couple of different things. I want you to hear the depth of the issue, and in this case, from the mouths of children, kids, students. Why would a elementary student have to deal with this? Seriously, why? Why should high schoolers have to deal with this? You could argue the same in college, but I'll keep it limited for right now. From critical race theory to the bombardment that's found in all classes in some form or fashion, and not from every teacher, but by all classes, I'm saying that it's not just in history or government or civics. These biases leak out all over the place. It leaks out in a literature assignment or a writing assignment where they limit what you can write about or dictate what can be written on. But obviously, of late, critical race theory is getting the lion's share of attention, as well it should. Enter Ty Smith. Ty is a radio personality in Illinois. And he's addressing the Bloomington School District 87 school board, and he's not, he happens to be black. And here's what he had to say about this whole curriculum of critical race theory.
When you talk about critical race theory, which is pretty much going to be teaching kids how to hate each other, how to dislike each other, it's pretty much what it's going to all come down to. You're going to deliberately teach kids, this white kid right here got it better than you because he white? You're going to purposely tell a white kid, oh, the black people are all down and suppressed. How do I have two medical degrees if I'm sitting here oppressed? How do I get, first of all, stand up, because I only got 5 minutes now, 5 minutes. Two medical degrees, no mom, no dad in the house, worked my way through college, sat there and hustled my butt off to get through college. You going to tell me somebody that looked like all y'all white folks kept me from doing that? Are you serious? Not one white person ever came to me and said, well, son, you're never going to be able to get nowhere because you know the black people. But guess what? What's sickening about this whole thing is what y'all doing right now is already something I do in my community right now to speak out against stuff because black folks are getting told by other black folks, oh, you know you ain't going to be able to do nothing out there in the world because them white folks ain't going to let you get nowhere. Oh, you know you're not going to be able to do it here because you know, the white man going to keep you down. Well, how did I get where I am right now? Are you going to sit here and tell me this lie of critical race theory? This the reason why black folks can't get ahead because of white folks? Are you kidding me? This is what we come to now. I can't believe we're even talking about this right now. The last thing I'm going to say right here is something that's crazy. Martin Luther King said he wanted his kids to grow up in a world where they are judged by the contents of their what?
Character.
Their character, not their skin. Yeah,
absolutely.
If they letting this stuff go on right now, it is absolutely doing the complete reverse of what he's doing. So when February comes, don't talk about Martin Luther King. I'm in the hood. I'm in the communities. I'm out there with folks in their face. I've been doing stuff since I was 18 years old, talking to black folks. And you know what? None of them are buying this nonsense. None of them are. But if you want to implement this into the school system, I guarantee you to the day that I die, I'm going to be the very person right there debunking stuff, tearing stuff down, letting them know they can do exactly what I did and get exactly where I am by putting themselves to work and getting there. And ain't not one white person ever going to keep any of them from getting there. So the CRT stuff, BS.
CRT stuff is BS. Yeah, there you go. Students, parents, white, black. It's all about you deciding. Parents, grandparents, to get involved in your school races. Get rid of school board members that are perpetuating this racist, bigoted, lopsided view of the world. Get rid of school superintendents that will not move principals out that are ineffective and are perpetuating this stuff. And by all means, get to know your teachers. Go to the open house. Look around the classroom. Ask your students, does the classroom change when mommy or daddy comes? Do they take things down and put things up when we're gone? Be involved. 40 minutes past the hour, it's the morning show with Preston Scott.
Got you covered. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes. It's the morning show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Let's go back and remember these comments by Corey Yeshua and his little girl Royalty as they released this little video clip about critical race theory.
Daddy teaches you can be anything in this world that you want to be, right? Don't daddy teach you that?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter if you're black or white or any color.
Doesn't matter if you're black, white, brown,
yellow,
right?
Black.
And how we treat people is based on who they are and not
and
what color
nice.
They are.
And if they're nice and smart.
See, this is how children think right here. Critical race theory wants to end that. Not with my children. It's not going to happen. My baby's going to know that no matter what she wants to be in life, all she has to do is work hard and she can become that.
Work hard even though you don't know anyone. You can make friends.
Yeah, you can make friends, no matter what color they are. So we need to stop CRT, period, point blank. Children do not see skin color, man. They love everybody. If they're good people, they love them.
We pray for people that are hurt.
How good is that? And I think most of us feel this way. But we are being bullied by people that are not our kids' parents. We elected a lot of them. We need some of you that have the skill set and the background and the education to get off the sideline and get in the race and run for superintendent and run for school board. Some of you are eminently qualified, and I am convinced that if there was a group that could come together and run together wherever, across the country, we're going to run for each of these seats, and we're going to change this, and we're going to run together, and we're going to bring balance back to the force. Right? This isn't about forcing our ideology or beliefs down anyone's throat either. This is about carving out space for us to teach what should be taught and not what shouldn't. Now, let's distill the last half hour plus. In our country right now, we are seeing the color of one's skin more than at any time in my lifetime. I was born in 1960. I'm not going to say I grew up in the civil rights movement. I was a kid. What do I know? What I know is that I paid very close attention when Dr. King was speaking, and that later in life I read every speech he'd ever delivered that had notes to it, that I could read it. I know that I was a great fan of his oratory skills. I know that I believed in those ideals, and I've tried to live that my entire life. And I believe I have. But think about the comments of those kids. The one in particular that said, "I now see race where I never saw it before." It's all been pushed backwards. And it's all based on lies pushed out by the mainstream media and made us think that that was a prevailing thought. It's not. Most of you are good, decent people that don't care about race. It's time to push back. 46 minutes after the hour. What's the Beef Friday next hour in the morning show with Preston Scott?
Someone has to say it. The morning show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
What's the Beef Friday comes up just a little bit. We already have callers calling in. So if you'd like to get in line, come on. Last week was outstanding. It was a very sporty week of phone calls last week. So get your thoughts together. Call in if you don't mind hanging out, waiting. Might get a chance to talk to you in the break. It's 850-205-9352, 850-205-WFLA. Big story in the press box. Obviously, we're finding out what happened down at that condominium complex. These were not cheap places. $600,000 to $900,000 units. A bunch of very impressive facilities. A fitness center, pool, spa, sauna, beach access, business center, playground for kids. Some of the apartments had balconies that faced the beach. Miami Beach, 30-minute drive to the south. So, yeah. So they're trying to sort through what happened. And right now, nearly 100 people missing. And you just hope and pray for the best. Joe Biden, bipartisan agreement with senators on infrastructure deal. The only problem is it has a caveat. That, according to Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and the president. And that caveat is another $6 trillion plan. Out of the $953 billion infrastructure, quote, compromise, end quote, there's about $400 billion of it, which no one can account for. What's it for? The infrastructure projects listed add up to $559 billion, and they might be worthwhile projects. It's a shame we've spent all these trillions of dollars in the last year to artificially prop up the economy when what needed to happen is Democrat states needed to open up. We made mistakes. Republicans, Democrats made mistakes on this whole pandemic. Representative Byron Donalds of Florida, along with his colleague, frequent guest, Congressman Michael Waltz, both blasting statements made by Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Mark Milley, very distinguished record General Milley, but he is defending CRT in the academies. What's wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country that we're here to defend? It's wrong. It's not accurate. It's revisionist. But when you have the chairman of the Joint Chiefs pushing out CRT and demanding it be administered in the academies, we're not far away from having a real problem beyond what we're already creating. I'm dumbfounded by military people falling for this. But there's the challenge. The upper echelons of government, look, the heads of the military, it's political.
They've already bought in.
Don't kid yourself. Kamala Harris hitting the border. Finally, 90-plus days after being named the czar of the border, she's going to show up. Oh, did I mention that she only made the decision to show up after she heard Trump was going?
She didn't want to get shown up by the T-man.
She is denying it up and down, and you can deny it until the cows come home.
She's such a liar.
People know the truth. They are shamed into going. What's the Beef Friday is next. Your calls, 85. Well, we're booked, so just make note of the number, 850-205-WFLA. Next half hour belongs to you.
Something stuck in your craw.
I am sick and tired.
Time to get it out before you fly off the handle.
Stuff like that really rubs me the wrong way.
Before you hit the roof.
You're getting both barreled.
Call 850-205-9352.
I have been having a very bad day.
So, what's the beef?
And here we are, hour number three, show 4,498 of the morning show with Preston Scott, Grant Allen over there, Studio 1A. I am here in Studio 1B, and we surrender a half hour of our precious broadcasting time to you once a week and give you a chance to get it off your chest. It is What's the Beef Friday here on the morning show, your chance to unload whatever has got you upset. We have two simple rules: no profanity and don't make it personal. If you have a bad experience at a business, by all means, tell us what happened. Just leave the name of the business out of it. Look, the odds are they just had a bad day, and we all have them. We don't want to drag any business down, but we want to help you. And just by getting the venom out of your very soul, you will be able to enjoy your weekend. And that's what this is all about, a kinder, gentler community. Fred has been standing by an awful long time. Fred, thanks so very much for joining me this morning. You are on the air. What's the beef?
Good morning. I'm from the great state of Alabama, home of Forrest Gump. Today's Gump trophy for life safety political cover-up at the wink, wink, nod most populous state in the nation goes to Capital City Electric Utility Company. The safety director and lineman inspected the unpermitted house at the new homeowner's request. To be clear, the lineman was an authorized electrical lineman, not a football lineman, although he was big enough to play lineman for the great University of Alabama. Run, Forrest, run! But I digress. The safety director and lineman confirmed they knew OSHA 1926, subpart K of the OSHA handbook, and they understood the house was not permitted, not properly inspected, had several building code violations, safety issues, and the certificate of completion was issued without the new homeowner's knowledge for a permit issued 7 years earlier. The lineman promptly directed the homeowner to cut off the power at the 200-amp electrical panel located inside the half bathroom installed without a permit. The lineman then put on his heavy-duty electrical safety gloves, cut the meter seal, opened the meter can, and shouted, 120 volts, 120 volts, our side of the meter meets code. The lineman then turned to the homeowner and questioned in his authoritative voice, do you want me to put on a clear seal or red seal? To be clear, no pun intended, a clear seal means the power is on, and a red seal means the power is off. In shock, again, no pun intended, the homeowner said he was not the authority to make that decision. The Capital City Electric was. The lineman proceeded to place a clear seal on the meter can, knowing the house did not meet building codes, and ignoring the fact the line was so close to the driveway, the homeowner's moving truck hit the power line. See radio photos attached. The next day, the homeowner noticed a beautiful cross and elegant RIP message painted on his government-issued recycled garbage can. We need more trustworthy people like Forrest Gump in our nation. I'm in. Are you? God bless.
Fred, and I understand that was the short version. I cannot believe you did that, and I don't think you took a breath. Let's go to Moses. Hello, Moses. Thanks for calling in. What's the beef, brother?
Hey, what's up, Preston? What's up? First and foremost, my condolences goes out to all the families and friends to those who are in the tragedy down in Miami, near Miami Beach.
Yes, sir.
With that being said, I am a racist, not against people, but for the love of my people, first and foremost. Our history did not begin in this country as slaves. Our rich history goes back to Ghana, Nigeria, Mali, the University of Timbuktu, back all the way to ancient Kemet called Egypt, to the black gods and goddesses who recorded a tremendous amount of information written in concrete evidence in stone for us to return to and to reclaim so we can get up out of this hellish mess of religious belief. That is my beef.
Moses, thanks very much for the phone call, my friend. It is always good to hear from you. We've got Ron and Fred, too. Could it be Fred the sequel? Or could it be a different Fred? You'll have to wait and see. What about you? Lines are open, 850-205-WFLA, 850-205-9352. Weather and traffic now on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Tall? The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
All right, we're going right back to the phone lines. 850-205-9352, 850-205-WFLA. Lines are full, so when you get a busy signal, just be patient, dial back in. We've got another segment after this one, but we're going right back at it. What's the beef? Friday, we go to Ron. Ron, thank you for being patient. What's the beef?
You're welcome. And, yes, Preston is always a great show. Your creativity is just very unique. And we got to get straight to the point of stopping this free money. The governor's going to put an end to the unemployment. I seen something on the news last night about this guy doing a petition and all that and everything. We got to call the governor, send him an email, smoke signals, something. Tell him, say, no, cut out the free money. These people need to go back to work. Okay? That's is exactly what needs to be done. People need to start working. That boy that was on TV last night, he sure wasn't missing no meals, so he don't need he doesn't need no free money. So have a great day and great show.
Thank you, Rod. Appreciate the phone call. That means Fred is up. Fred, good morning. Welcome. What's the beef?
Well, good morning. How you doing today?
I need you to get to the handset. I feel like you're on a speakerphone.
Well, unfortunately, I am. That's all I have.
Okay, just lean in as best you can and go for it. What's the beef?
It's critical theory. I just tell you, to me, President, they need to go to the head of the snake, find out who's starting all this stuff.
Well, it's the New York Times that started it with the 1619 Project.
I understand, but it's getting, you know, they need to, well, you're right, but it's getting into our school, like you said, and it's teaching hatred.
Yeah.
Division. I just, those people you had on, the young men that talked and the man up in Illinois, it was very, very wonderful to say it. Yeah. I want to tell you real quick, I have been writing this song, and it's about the color of one's skin, the character that lives within.
Okay.
That's my head. Is Jesus living within? There's no doubt the character will show through. Or the character is showing through. Judge not by the color of one's skin. Look to see if Jesus living within. So let's learn not to judge by the color of one's skin. Remember, the character within will show out if Jesus living within. That's just part of it. As believers, that's where we need to go.
Well, I think most believers, that's where we are. Fred, thanks very much for calling in and sharing that with us. It is, it's problematic. The critical race theory thing is just, it's just problematic. It is causing people to see race where they never, ever saw it before. And it's not a good thing. Again, you go back to the ideals of Dr. Martin Luther King. He'd have his mouth swinging open on this one. He wouldn't believe where this is pivoted to. Roger, thanks for calling in. What's the beef?
Well, I want to be careful because I'm now in a long-term care facility. I recently moved there. My life has just not been doing well in recent years, but my beef is the fact that they're stuck on the mask issue. If you're going to participate in an activity, you have to wear a mask according to this guidelines. And they just want to get as many people vaccinated as possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I can sense the frustration and all that. Roger, thanks so much for calling in, and I wish you the best. We are going to have to... Jesse, Ken, you are next. You're going to be first up in the next segment. Got to go to break, come back with more. Final segment of Audio Therapy, What's the Beef Friday, an exclusive presentation on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
FLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
And free.
An iHeart's radio station.
With What's the Beef Friday, we have room for a couple more callers, but you better grab it quick. If you've never called the radio program first time, Friday rules apply. 850-205-WFLA, 850-205-9352. Let's go to Jesse, who's been standing by. Good morning. Welcome. What's the beef?
Good morning, Preston, Grant, listening audience. My beef today is with the mainstream media. You know, big shocker there. But in reference to the Daytona Beach police officer that got shot in the head simply by asking a man what he was doing in a certain place.
Yes.
At a certain time of night. Okay, the blue alert we all got on our phone yesterday, FDLE had a post on their Facebook page. If you go into the comments of that particular post, you will see a link to the suspect's profile. He is clearly a black militant. Not one media outlet has called this out. You know, you can scroll through his profile pictures. There's some public posts where his friends are commenting. They're leaving messages of encouragement, and it's sickening. And that's what my beef is. If we're going to call out racism, let's do it on an even playing field.
You know that's not going to happen.
It doesn't fit the narrative.
Exactly.
But I just want the listening audience to take a peek at the FDLE post from yesterday and go on the suspect's profile, and you will see what I'm talking about. It burns me. It really does.
I don't blame you, Jesse. Beat. Thanks so very much. I appreciate the phone call. And, yeah, bad dude. Bad dude. We'll talk about that maybe next week with Charlie. Ken, thanks for calling in. What's the beef?
Down in Panama City, off of 6th Street, I just don't understand why you would send a crew out to pressure wash a sidewalk one day, and then the next day the guy shows up with the spray paint and starts spray painting the sidewalk because they're going to tear it out. What's the point of cleaning it for?
Wait, they're tearing out the sidewalk?
Well, no. You know how they come by with a spray can, like this has got to come out and this has got to come out?
Yeah.
So why would you clean it to take it out?
I see what you're saying. So they're marking up the sidewalk, marking the spots they're going to demo?
After they pressure wash the sidewalk.
Oh, man. That's a good one.
And I just wondered real quick, did you ever hear from Brudnicki yesterday or Wednesday?
We're trying to figure out what happened.
He was on 6th Street pressure washing.
Stop it. Ken. Come on, Greg's a good guy. Let's go to Mike, final caller here on What's the Beef Friday.
I hope everything's going well for you. Just want to let you know, one way to really blow a Democrat senator off's mind or some of these Democrats, I just called up there and told them we don't have a gun problem. We got a violence problem. I asked them, said, how many guns have you put on the table that jumped up and shot anybody? I said, not a one. The guns aren't the problem. It's the criminals and the thugs that get the guns. So I told them what they need to do is just take all the laws out there now and just enforce them. We don't need any more gun laws. Just enforce what we got. Keep up the good work and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Yeah, I've joked about it. I've had a gun by my bedside for about 12 years now. Hasn't shot me yet. And shot my wife. She's got one, too. I mean, it's just, we are, you think we can fit? What do you think? You make the call, producer.
I think we can do it.
Produce.
Let me.
Come on, producer. Produce. I'm going to take one more call here before we head to the final half hour. Of course, the final half hour, What's to Be Friday, is one of those times when we just kind of exhale a little bit. Jeffrey, you're it. You got in just under the time limit. What's the beef?
Well, I'll tell you, I wanted to follow up your previous call. I wasn't going to call in this morning. But, Preston, I'm one of these people who hadn't owned a TV in about 30-some years and what have you. I'll be brief. I have watched a few movies over the last 6 months, having a little extra time in the evening. And, you know, people talk about gun violence coming from the guns themselves. When you watch some of the movies they have these days, of people shooting cops in the head, all the violence, people cutting people up in the body parts, I think probably what really engenders a lot of violence and killing in this country comes from people who appreciate adults who go and watch these kinds of movies and support this kind of violence being shown to people and giving them that impression in their minds, which then sometimes leads to them carrying out these acts themselves. What's your view on that?
I understand what you're saying, and I think it can impact some people, but I think the bigger issue in the grand scheme of things, Jeffrey, is publicizing the names of these people. I think we should stop publicizing the names of murderers. Let's focus on the victims, not the perpetrators of the crimes. But, man, thanks very much. I appreciate you making the time to call us this morning, Jeffrey, and sharing your beef, and that'll wrap up the segment. We got the news coming up next. Good news, Tom McCubbin, and my verdict on the chicken sandwich wars. Still to come on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
I am fair. I am good. I'm a happy example.
Glenn is on 9 to noon.
I am stronger every day.
On WFLA.
Five minutes passed, and we are off Monday, Tuesday next week. Wednesday, we come back with Kevin Cook. He is author of the book that I discussed earlier in the week called, maybe it was last week, Burning Blue, the story of Challenger and Krista McAuliffe, the teacher that passed as a result of that tragedy. We'll also have Charlie Strickland taking your calls, questions on personal defense, guns, ammunition, training. So that's Wednesday when we return here on the morning show. But this is the home stretch where we talk about some other things, push back, and now share some good news.
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart to heart you. You sing to one.
We like to share something to lift your heart, and this one has dual meaning. This one is uplifting, and it makes a very important point. Look, everybody, and I mean, I think almost everybody, loves the story of someone pitted against enormous odds, obstacles, challenges, overcoming and winning, right? Don't we love those stories? I mean, when confronted with a story like that, you pull for the other guy when you hear, oh man, yeah, come on. You know, that story. And that's the story of Richard Scott William Hutchinson. This little guy just celebrated his first birthday. Here's what makes his story unbelievable. He was born 131 days early, weighing in at 11.9 ounces and 10.2 inches in length. Gestationally, 21 weeks and 2 days. His parents were told by the neonatal intensive care unit at Children's Minnesota Hospital in Minneapolis he had a 0% chance of survival. But his parents, Richard and Rick and Beth, would not ever stop advocating, fighting, pushing. And the doctor, Dr. Stacy Kern, said their strength and ability to stay positive and hopeful even during the most stressful, difficult times was inspiring. 6 months later, Richard went home. She said, the doctor said, I couldn't believe this was the same little boy that once was so sick I feared that he might not survive. The same little boy that once fit in the palm of my hand, skin so translucent that I could see every rib and vessel in his body. I couldn't help but squeeze him and tell him how proud I was of him. So not only is little Richard Scott William Hutchinson a fighter, and a winner, and a survivor. But he reminds us that viability comes a little sooner to a baby inside the mother's womb than a lot of people are willing to admit. And that is good news in the midst of a painful reality in our country. They're still babies, no matter what their age.
Have to love him, just like him, on Facebook at Preston Scott Show.
Let's get in the backyards this weekend, the front yards. Let's get busy. It's time for a little backyard basics. Tom McCubbin, the host of the Better Lawns and Gardens radio program, it's been at it for better than three decades, is our guest once a month, and the website betterlawns.com. Good morning, Tom. How are you, my friend?
Good morning, Preston. Couldn't be better. I'm getting my rain.
Boy, and that is much needed, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes. We were way behind, and I know you were falling behind, too. So everybody's getting what they need or maybe more than they need in some areas.
Let's talk about crepe myrtles. They are beautiful trees, but they can get a little tall. What do you do with those things this time of year as they start growing?
You know, crepe myrtles can get too tall, and it's probably a case where we planted the wrong crepe myrtle. But if we have that situation, then each year some people cut them back. They do what they call crepe murder. But I try to be selective. If I have a crepe myrtle that's that big, then I'll go through and selectively cut limbs back and try to keep them at their normal shape if I can. But the main idea is to try to plant the right crepe myrtle. For instance, I have a variety called Natchez in my front yard, and it's about 25 feet tall and wide, but I knew that when I planted it. And there are other ones that are smaller, like a Coma or Tonto. They don't get above 12 feet, so they're easier to maintain.
What about gardens that are seeing white covering on the leaves? What do they do?
Yeah, that's powdery mildew. Normally, we don't have to worry about it too much. Some of the vegetables have that, but they're going out. The crepe myrtles have it. If we get the resistant variety crepe myrtles, we won't have that problem. If you really need to get it under control, you can use either a copper fungicide or the neem oil spray. The neem oil spray surprisingly has some powdery mildew control.
You said the magic word, vegetables. What about vegetable gardens this time of year?
Yeah, they're finishing up right now, so we need to be getting ready for our next plantings, and I'm doing that my own. I'm getting rid of the old crops, pulling out the weeds that I left there, and I'll be adding some organic matter because it won't be that much longer. We'll be replanting the garden if you're not putting anything in for summer.
It's still hot, though, when you start planting those plants all over again. How do you walk that fine line between watering them too much and not enough?
Well, quite often the daily rains will water them for you, and sometimes they'll overwater them. So when the surface soil starts to feel dry, you water. I use a mulch. I get an old hay or straw or compost mulch and put it over the soil. So during the rainy season, you may not even have to water them at all. In fact, it could be too much in some cases.
What about our lawns this time of year?
Yeah, this time of the year, if you didn't fertilize in the spring or early summer, you still can put down a fertilizer, at least in Leon County. You have the ability to do that as long as you don't have any tropical storms or inches over an inch of rain expected. If you did fertilize and you're getting that yellow look, you could put down the iron or minor nutrient product.
Is it better to do that with a granule or with a liquid?
You know, it doesn't make, well, I like the granule. Here's why. Because most of the granules have slow-release properties,
okay,
which means it's going to last longer.
Last thing, spring flowers are kind of going, so what do we do to add a little color in the beds this time of year?
My go-to plants for summer are Pentas and Coleus, but you also have the Caladiums with the colorful foliage, a plant called Melopodium, and little zinnias. I like them. That'll give us some color also.
What's the topic on the show tomorrow? What are you going to zero in on?
Hey, we're going to talk a little more about lawn care, and then I have a neat topic. It's called Flowers That Bloom at Night. Can you name some of them?
No. Really?
Yeah, I have the moon flower.
So you mean literally they close up in the day and bloom at night?
Yeah, they open at night, like the moon flower. I have one right here on my fence, and it'll start opening up about 4 or 5 o'clock and stay open all night. It's really pretty, but there's a lot more.
Can you see it if you have a light on the garden?
If the light's on the garden, it probably will not open up as well, but it'll still open up.
Oh, that's fascinating. Good stuff as always. Tom, thanks so much for the time.
Okay, have a great gardening week.
Thank you, sir. Tom McCubbin, the website, betterlawns.com. There's do's and don'ts for every month of the year that he puts up there. It's a great site for those of you looking for a little gardening expertise. 46 minutes after the hour, back with more of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. It's time for the verdict. Sort of. Back a few weeks ago, I mentioned that Chili's was getting in on the chicken sandwich wars with their own entry. And I suspected that it was going to be pretty good because Chili's does really good chicken. Their fried chicken, it's almost like a panko kind of batter, real light. But it's really good. I'm a huge fan of the honey chipotle crispers that they have. But I suspected, I said to Grant on the show, I said, look, they do chicken really well. I suspect this sandwich is going to be pretty good. Now, allegedly, the sandwich is only going to run through June. So I told my sweetheart, I said, we are going to go, just you and I, because my birthday was in the middle of the week, so we weren't getting together with the family because I got to go to bed early. And it's just like, yeah. So just the two of us went on my birthday, and we went to Chili's nearby, and I said, I am going to have this chicken sandwich. Normally, that's not what I would get, but I wanted to do it. And so I got the chicken sandwich. Chili's had said, we're going big. It's going to be a great chicken sandwich, and the secret is going to be the sauce. We have a crazy sauce, and I'm a sauce guy. After having had the sandwich, I can tell you that I was not disappointed.
Really?
It is an exceptionally good sandwich. The sauce is, to me, it's very similar to the Chick-fil-A barbecue mayonnaise sauce that they do. The Chick-fil-A sauce. It's very similar to that.
Hmm.
But I would tell you that you could get the honey mustard that Chili's has and put that on it, and it would be spectacular as well. It is a really good chicken sandwich. So if you've not been, they say it's only through June. The word inside the building was they're going to keep it on the menu. So we'll see. But I'm just telling you, if you like your chicken sandwiches, give Chili's a try. It's not on the menu. You have to ask for it. It's not on any of the specialty little things that they'll put out. You have to ask for the chicken sandwich, the new chicken sandwich. And it's the fried chicken sandwich with the sauce, and yeah, it's pretty good.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
A look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. And with all due respect to all the other sandwiches, and look, it's hard to beat Chick-fil-A for the drive-through sandwich. But of the chicken sandwiches, whether it's Zaxby's, Popeye's, Chick-fil-A, KFC, even McDonald's or Wendy's or the Chick-King at Burger King, I would give the nod to Chili's. I think it's the best chicken sandwich I've had. It's pretty good. Pretty good. Kind of like this radio program, the PGR Network. I don't know. Do I go with it? Do I go with the pretty good radio network?
You keep saying it.
Yeah, but I've only said it twice now.
Okay.
I thought of OGR Network, the occasionally good radio network.
I was going to go with, oh, great.
The ON radio, the Oh No radio network. I'm still working on it. Submit your ideas on what we should call our broadcasting network to Preston at iHeartRadio.com tomorrow, as I was saying. Today's program, just check it out, the podcast. It's available, as is the podcast too, as I was saying. We'll have that up over the weekend. The show airs tomorrow, 9 o'clock Eastern. You'll need to stream 100.7 WFLA to catch the show live, or you can subscribe to the podcast, and you'll be notified when we get it. Right now, Champlain Towers, Surfside, 4 dead, 159 missing. So we'll be following that story. Check out the blog page over the weekend. Remember, we are off Monday, Tuesday, back Wednesday with another brand new unwrapped edition of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Have a great weekend.